Welcome to today's Let's Talk Knoxville. I'm Nathan Sage. On today's program, we speak to State Senator Amy Sinclair as she updates us on what she has been doing during the postponement from the legislative session due to COVID-19.
We are now in May 1st, the day that Governor Kim Reynolds, in a proclamation, said that certain businesses in 77 counties can reopen for business, kind of reopening the economy slowly in little phases throughout Iowa, still dealing with the COVID-19 situation. I guess my question for you, Amy, when it comes to this whole situation with the governor's proclamation, you know, it's kind of been controversial. There's been here and there thoughts on it. I guess, what are your thoughts on the whole, you know, phasing in of the reopening of Iowa, if you will?
Sure. And I think, you know, it has been controversial, and there have been questions about whether this is smart or whether this is enough. And there's extreme opinion on both sides, on both ends of that spectrum. What I think the governor is doing is a measured response to balancing the needs of public health and safety. But at the same time, there are just broader needs as far as economic stability and returning to a new normal. Honestly, we can't hunker down forever. We can't wait a year, 2 years until, you know, it's perfectly safe to go outside. I think it does behoove us to start in a measured and responsible way to reopen Iowa's economy. Bigger than just our stores reopening, our small business owners having the opportunity to continue to thrive. Iowa is pivotal in the broader look at our nation and our world when it comes to a food supply chain. And if Iowa is unable to meet the demands of the food supply chain with a vibrant and vital economy, it doesn't affect just Iowa and Iowans. It affects our entire nation, and it affects whether or not people around the world are able to eat. It is at the crux of what we look at with food security. And we talk about protecting people from dying related to the virus, but if we can't keep our food supply chain intact, then there will be people dying of hunger, and that is just as unacceptable. So I do believe, agree with her beginning this opening up process, but I would also say we still need to be smart in this. We still need to practice keeping people at that 6 feet distance or at arm's length, if you will. We still need to make sure that we're being mindful of other people's needs and covering our faces and washing our hands and being reasonable in the amount of time we're spending outside. Additionally, I think that individual responsibility comes into play. My mom is 84. She turns 85 this coming Thursday. My mom is not going to go out into public, nor should she. She is in a vulnerable population, and she needs to do what she can to protect herself from possible exposure to a virus that could kill her. And so I think individuals who truly are at risk ought to be mindful of that and take the appropriate responses. I think businesses and churches, if they feel they are unable to reopen in a manner that will protect themselves and the people who might frequent them, then they can choose to remain closed. This isn't a requirement that businesses open up. It is an opportunity for them to make the decisions that best suit their own business models and the people who they serve. And so I think it is a measured and reasonable way to start reopening. And I think individual responsibility ultimately is going to come to the crux of this, and that we still protect ourselves and protect others following good, responsible measures that we've all become far too familiar with.
Now, one thing you mentioned there, obviously, when you talked about your mother's age, you talked about how COVID-19 does affect more towards the older generation, the older population in Iowa. One of those areas, you know, when it comes to the legislative session in the Capitol, is a lot of those lawmakers and legislators are in that older category. So when it comes to the legislative session, what's kind of been the discussion behind closed doors on, one, you know, when you guys are going to get back to business, and two, you know, how is that going to look, you know, trying to make sure everybody's still protected?
Yeah, absolutely. And you are absolutely right. I mean, you noticed that early on, the legislature was one of the first things to kind of step back and say, hey, we probably shouldn't be here. And for a couple of factors, one, roughly 30% of the legislature does fall into from one aspect or another, that at-risk category. They're either over 60 years old or they have an underlying health condition that predisposes them to be more adversely affected by the virus than others. And so that was one thing that we took into account. The other thing is that you have people in that building, obviously representing the entire state, who come in and then go home every weekend. In addition to that, we're constitutionally required to have the building open to the public, as we should. You know, it should be a transparent process, but inviting and having that many people from all across the state is just, it's too great a risk in furthering a spread of what we know. What we do know is can be a very, very deadly disease. And so it was important to us to shut down. And so those factors are still coming into play when we look at when we reopen. The Legislative Council did meet this week and pushed out the reopening of the legislative session until May 15th. And so we know it'll be at least that long. The discussion, the conversation in that Legislative Council meeting were exactly the questions you're asking. Will we all be coming back May 15th, or will we come back in smaller groups just to deal with committee work? And that was kind of the consensus, that initial flow of legislators in would not involve floor work, but would be more focused and targeted on getting those pieces of legislation pulled together that we know we need to run out before the end of our session, you know, the budget items and some of those priority policy pieces that we know we have to get through. So we won't necessarily be coming back in full force and start doing floor debate and voting. Additionally, beyond just the factors of protecting folks, we don't know where we're going to be from a revenue standpoint. Many economists are saying that state revenues could take a hit anywhere from 5 to 15, 20% for the coming fiscal year. And so if we're looking at needing to reduce the state budget by 5 to 25%, that's going to take some work. And we would like to have that nailed down to something that's more exact in its estimation than that broad of a range. And so we would like to take some time as businesses are reopening, as people are getting back to work, as commerce resumes in a more normal capacity, to help us to know what exactly that budget number is going to look like, so we don't cut too much or too little in our response for our budgeting next year. Both of those factors will limit how quickly we're able to return. I would guess, and this is just from conversations, that we would start having a fairly normal legislative session, very abbreviated. We won't come back for the full 30 days that we've lost, but I would expect a couple of weeks of work beginning probably around the 1st of June, so that we can get a budget put together for local governments and for our executive branch departments for the fiscal year beginning July 1.
Thanks to State Senator Amy Sinclair for joining us on today's program. If you'd like to listen to today's program or past shows, go to KNIKRLS.com and click podcast.